You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
Alphonsus, King of Leon and Galicia, very much wanted all his servants to honor the Blessed Virgin by saying the rosary, so he used to hang a large rosary on his belt, though he never said it himself. Nevertheless, his wearing it encouraged his court followers to say the rosary devoutly. One day the king fell seriously ill, and when he was giving up for dead, he found himself in spirit before the judgment seat of our Lord. Many devils were there accusing him of all the sins he had committed, and our Lord was about to condemn him when Our Lady came forward to speak in his favor. She called for a pair of scales and had his sins placed in one of the balances. While she put the large rosary which he had always worn on the other scale, together with all the rosaries that had been said through his example. And it was found that the rosaries weighed more than his sins. Looking at him with great kindness, our Lord said, "As a reward for the little service you did for me in wearing my rosary, I have obtained a great grace for you from my Son. Your life will be spared for a few more years. See that you spend those years wisely and do penance." When the king regained consciousness, he cried out, "Blessed be the rosary of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, by which I have been delivered from eternal damnation." And after he had recovered his health, he spent the rest of his life in spreading devotion to the rosary. Can the faith of King Alphonsus be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. In today's session, we're going to take a step back and have a look, a cursory look over a number of the various Marian apparitions that have occurred throughout the last number of centuries. And in doing so, we will notice that by and large, even with those who are devoted to our Blessed Mother, devoted even to the Rosary, by and large, there is an underlying message in the various Marian apparitions throughout the centuries, which many of us have missed. which many of us have failed to heed the call and warning of the Blessed Mother. And we'll see how the messages that our Blessed Mother has given us throughout these centuries has sadly fallen on death, has fallen deaf to our ears. In a sense, we seem to have tuned out her warnings, her admonitions, her calls for penance, prayers, and reparation. And that's what we're going to do now today. We're going to go through the various Marian apparitions and see to it that there is an underlying message here from the Blessed Mother, which we have totally missed these last few hundred years, and we continue to miss at our peril.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
In the approved apparition of Our Lady of Quito, Our Lady of Good Success, the Blessed Mother, more than 400 years ago, made a number of startling prophecies to Venerable Mother Mariana that apply to the time that we live in today, in which the Blessed Mother said, "I make it known to you that from the end of the 19th century and shortly after the middle of the 20th century, the passions will erupt and there will be a total corruption of customs and morals." In another place, she says, "Therefore clamor insistently, without tiring, and weep with bitter tears in the privacy of your heart, imploring our Celestial Father that, for love of the Eucharistic heart of my most holy Son, and his precious blood shed with such generosity, and the profound bitterness and the sufferings of his cruel passion and death, that he might take pity on his ministers and bring to an end those ominous times, sending to this church the prelate who will restore the spirit of its priests." On November 24th, 1843, our Lord spoke the following words to the Carmelite, French Carmelite sister, Marie de Saint-Pierre, where our Lord said, "The earth is covered with crimes. The violation of the first three commandments of God has irritated my Father. The holy name of God blasphemed and the holy day of the Lord profaned fills up the measure of iniquities. These sins have risen unto the throne of God and provoked his wrath, which will soon burst forth if his justice be not appeased. At no time have these crimes reached such a pitch." And then our Lord also explained to Sister Saint-Pierre the enormity of the sin of blasphemy, in which she writes, "It seems to me that I heard our Lord say, 'You cannot comprehend the malice and abomination of the sin. Were my justice not restrained by my mercy, it would instantly crush the guilty. And all creatures, even those that are inanimate, would avenge my outraged honor. But I have an eternity in which to punish.'" In 1846, Our Lady's message of La Salette was a reaffirmation of Our Lord's words to Sister Saint-Pierre, in which Our Lady warned of the utter contempt of men for God's commandments. Especially the Blessed Mother said, quote, "In the profanation of the Lord's day and the crime of blasphemy." The Blessed Mother further warned, "If my people do not return to God by penance, I shall be forced to let fall the hand of my Son. It now presses so heavily that I can scarce hold it any longer." Keeping in mind also that Our Lady appeared at La Salette with the crucifix upon her heart, surrounded by the sharp instruments of the Passion, the cruel hammer, and the sharp pincers, the implements of the crucifixion upon her heart. February 1858, many people had filled the grotto area there at Lourdes. At one point, it seemed as if the apparition that Bernadette there had seen was moving towards the back of the grotto. And so as not to lose Mary from her sight, Bernadette approached closer on her knees, and she observed that our Blessed Mother became saddened. And she asked her, "What is wrong? What can I do?" And the Blessed Mother there at Lourdes in the grotto responded, "Pray for sinners." On February 24th, Bernadette, as usual, arrived at the grotto and kneeled without paying attention to the curiosity of the people around her. Bernadette told Mary what the priest requested, whereby the priest had said, "Did you not tell me that she appears on a wild rose bush? Well then, tell that lady for me that if she wants a sanctuary, may the rose bush blossom." Our Blessed Mother only smiled without saying a word. She then asked her to pray for sinners and exclaimed three times, "Penance, penance, penance." And she asked Bernadette to repeat those words. And the Blessed Mother also said to her, "Pray for sinners. You will kiss the ground for the conversion of sinners." And as to the blossoming of the rosebush, we all know how that ended. And then there is Fatima. And what was the message of Fatima basically? It was also an echo here of the words that our Blessed Mother said to Bernadette. Penance, penance, penance. Where our Blessed Mother at Fatima also said, "Do not offend the Lord our God anymore, for he is already too much offended." She asked for the conversion of sinners. She even revealed to the three children a vision of hell, which greatly terrified the three children. And the Blessed Mother asked that they too pray for the conversion of sinners. And as part of the Marian apparition related to Fatima, December 10th, 1925, at Ponte Verde, the Most Holy Virgin appeared with the child Jesus to Sister Lucia, and the Blessed Mother showed her a heart encircled by thorns. And the child Jesus said, "Have compassion on the heart of your Most Holy Mother covered with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment. And there is no one to make an act of reparation to remove them." And then the Most Holy Virgin said, "Look, my daughter, at my heart, surrounded with thorns with which ungrateful men pierce me at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitudes." Saint Faustina had been told by our Lord that she was to prepare the world for his second coming, and that she would do so by establishing the devotion of divine mercy. And in Diary 848, our Lord said, "Speak to the world about my mercy. It is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to the fountain of my mercy." And in Diary Entry 1588, our Lord said, "Before the day of justice, I am sending the day of mercy." At the Marian apparition of the Tre Fontane in Rome, 1947, the Blessed Mother spoke to Bruno Cornacchiola and said, quote, "The entire church will undergo a tremendous trial to clean up the mass of rotten flesh that has infiltrated into her ministers, in particular among the orders of poverty. A spiritual trial. For the time indicated in the heavenly books, priests and faithful will be placed at a perilous turning point in the world of the lost. false ideologies and theologies, supplication from both, the faithful and the unfaithful, will be made according to the trials. I among you, the elect, with Christ as our captain, will fight for you. The wrath of Satan is no longer restrained. The Spirit of God is withdrawn from the earth. The church will be left a widow, and behold the funeral drape. She will be left to the mercy of the world. Children, become saints and sanctify yourselves more. Always love each other. Marshal yourselves under the banner of Christ. Working in this way, you will see the fruits of victory in the awakening of the consciousness to the good. Despite being in evil, you will see, through your cooperative and efficacious help, sinners converted and the fold filled up with saved souls. October 13, 1973. Our Lady, on the anniversary of the miracle of the sun, in Akita, Japan, said to Sister Sasagawa, "My dear daughter, listen well to what I have to say to you. You will inform your superiors, and as I have told you, if men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge, such as one will never have seen before. Fire will fall from the sky and will wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priest nor faithful. The survivors will find themselves so desolate that they will envy the dead. The only arms which will remain for you will be the rosary and the sign left by my son. Each day recite the prayers of the rosary, and with the rosary pray for the Pope, the bishops and priests. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals, bishops against bishops, and the church will be full of those who accept compromises, and the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord." Now, this is just a small sampling of the various Marian apparitions and apparitions where our Lord appeared as well to various saints and mystics. And I don't know about you, but did you notice a certain disconnect here, a certain problem with the messages that our Blessed Mother and our Lord has given to these apparitions? If you try to reflect on those words of our Lord and our Blessed Mother, from her ministers to the words, initiatives, and actions coming out of parishes, dioceses, and sometimes even the Vatican itself, there seems to be an enormous difference, an enormous disconnect as to how we in the church see ourselves and the state of the world today and the way heaven sees things. There seems to be an enormous disconnect as to the message that our Blessed Mother and Lord has given through these apparitions and the way that many of us in the church today comport ourselves. That we seem to be going through life as if, you know, la-di-da-di-da, it's okay, just no big deal. While heaven sends us messages, constant messages, to do penance, to make reparation for the conversion of sinners. We are living in such a lukewarm time in the church's history that we have tuned out the warnings of the Blessed Mother from her Son, our Lord, from the Holy Spirit, and from God the Father Almighty. Rarely, if ever, in many parishes will you hear a sermon preached on any of the many warnings that our Lord has sent through his Blessed Mother, or that the fires of purgatory are as intense as the fires of hell, that purgatory and hell run on the same thermostat, is a way of speaking. If it is so important that Christ the King deems fit to send his mother to personally deliver a message, we should darn well be paying attention to it. And not just for a moment or two, but it should be ingrained and seared in the hearts and minds of the faithful and the priests. And we should be hearing about this every single Sunday in sermons and homilies. We are living today just as the Israelites were, as they were feasting and in revelry, dancing in front of the golden calf. Today, our culture is worshiping and in revelry before our own golden calves.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, baruch haba b'shem.
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
If it was so important that our Lord send His Blessed Mother to warn us of the impending dangers during our time, those warnings of our Blessed Mother and of our Lord through these various apparitions should be reflected in the sermons and homilies of our pastors at church on Sundays. It seems to be the only thing that our Blessed Mother really speaks about. Penance, reparation, making reparation for the sins of humanity. And yet, sadly, it seems to be the message that we don't hear rarely, if ever, by many of our pastors. And we have to pray for our pastors and bishops and priests and the popes and those in religious life, as I do every day whenever I say a rosary. So should we all. In praying our rosaries, offer up prayers for those in religious life. So why don't we hear the warnings of our Blessed Mother in all these approved apparitions reflected in the sermons that we hear on Sunday? Think of it this way. In the book of Zechariah, God commands the prophet Zechariah to shepherd a rebellious people. In Zechariah 11, verses 4 to 6, we read, "Thus said the Lord my God, become shepherd of the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished. And those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I have become rich. And their own shepherds have no pity on them. For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of this land, declares the Lord. Behold, I will cause each of them to fall into the hand of his neighbor, and each into the hand of his king. And they shall crush the land, and I will deliver none from their hand." God commands Zechariah to shepherd a flock doomed to slaughter. He, Zechariah, will preside over their slaughter, not because he is a bad shepherd, or nor because he doesn't care about them, but because that is what the flock deserve. This was a flock under the kings of Israel and Judah, from David to Babylon. They deserve judgment because they have degenerated into lawlessness. They are being judged because they have rejected their true shepherd, Yahweh. Later in Zechariah, we read, "So I became the shepherd of the flock, doomed to be slaughtered by the sheep vendors. And I took two staffs, one I named Favor and the other I named Union. And I tended the sheep. In 1 month, I destroyed the three shepherds." God is and was the shepherd of his people. These staffs, which Zechariah speaks about, represent the blessedness of the covenant relationship with God. The first staff, Favor, represents God's covenant mercies towards Israel. Zechariah plays the part of a good shepherd. We know that because he destroys three enemy shepherds, men who did not care for the flock, men who only wanted to use the flock. And these would have been, no doubt, priests and high priests who had turned to apostasy and who themselves had turned away from God. But God loved and protected his flock. But there was a problem. Because later in Zechariah, we hear, "But I became impatient with them, and they also detested me." Did you catch that? The flock detested God. And it shouldn't be any wonder for us, because our culture today detests God, to be honest, has turned away from God and detests God, because we are a culture, and even many nominal Catholics as today, we are a culture more attached to their sins than to God himself. And despite the Good Shepherd's kindness, grace, and goodness, we learn the shocking news that the flock actually detests him. Think of it this way. Israel was called on to be a holy people. If Israel was called on to be a holy people, how much more should we Catholics be a holy people and draw people to God? The Catholic Church is the continuation and the fulfillment of Israel. What applied to Israel applies to us. We have been called upon to be a holy people. By and large, have we Catholics comported ourselves as a holy people, holy enough as to draw people to God? Sadly, to be honest, the majority of Catholics today are anything but a reflection of a holy people. So here in Zechariah, they detested God. They turned to many false gods, Baal, Ashtoreth, Astarte, Moloch. But why? Because these gods, just as our modern day idols, gave them, Israel, what they really wanted, and give us in our culture today what we really want. And that is freedom to pursue our lusts and vices and sins. This is the freedom of our modern culture. The freedom that our modern culture seeks and craves. To be left to pursue their sins without the inconvenience of a transcendent deity telling them, no, that is wrong. No, that is a sin. Our culture does not want to hear it. And many Catholics are silent in standing up for our Lord when confronted with the vices and sins of the world. So God's reaction, as it will be with us, was not a pleasant one. He judged them by giving them up to the leadership they deserved. He gave them up to the ultimate evil shepherd, Babylon, in this case, in Zechariah. And that is the point of these passages here in Zechariah. Eventually, God gives us the leadership and shepherds that we deserve. So it was with Israel. So is it with us today in the church, that many times throughout church history, God has given us the shepherds, priests, and bishops that we deserved. Later on in Zechariah, it reads, "So I said, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. And I took my staff, favor, and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I had made with all the peoples. So it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord." God is angry. His people detest him. They have chosen false gods. So God breaks the staff, favor, which represented his covenant with Israel and Judah. Remember what he said? What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. The marriage covenant between God and Israel had been broken. God is no longer the shepherd of Israel. He has withdrawn from them. He no longer protects them. And the law of Moses, interestingly, threatened that cannibalism would ultimately overtake the Jews if they failed to obey God's covenant. And during the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem and later during the Roman siege of 70 AD, the hunger in the city was so severe and intense that people did actually come under the sway of this curse. And so here the flock detests the shepherd, and so he is leaving. He has broken his covenant with them, and they are glad, but they feel guilty, so they try to pay him for his services. Zechariah 11, verses 12 to 14 reads, "Then I said to them, 'If it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them.' And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver." 30 pieces of silver. Again, this is in Zechariah. "And then the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced for them.' So I took the 30 pieces of silver," says Zechariah, "and threw them into the house of the Lord, to the potter. And then I broke my second staff, union, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel." The flock offers him 30 pieces of silver, but the Lord tells Zechariah to refuse it. And he throws it to the potter in the house of the Lord. And then the shepherd breaks the second staff, union. Yes, it represented the bond of brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And this actually happened 125 years before Jerusalem's siege by Babylon. One of the morals of the story here is that without true and good shepherds, the sheep will scatter. Later on, in Zechariah 11, verses 15 to 17, it reads, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Take once more the equipment of a foolish shepherd, for behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hoofs. Woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. Let his arm be wholly withered, his right eye utterly blinded.'" Here, God gives his people, the shepherds, priests, and bishops that they deserve and ask for. Think of it this way: hell is a place of perfect justice. Everyone in hell gets what they deserve. All of God's threats and warnings about bad shepherds lead to hell. And hell is a kingdom, and Satan is its king. We have rejected the kingship of Christ, especially in our culture today. And so we will be doomed to live under the feet, under the yoke of the master we have chosen, Satan, and live out for eternity in his kingdom, hell. Satan is the master we all deserve, and what we will get forever, unless we turn away from sin and repent. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them.'" And what was it? "So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter." And in the Gospel of Matthew, we read in verse 13, a direct reference to the Good Shepherd who, 500 years after Zechariah, entered our fallen world to die for his sheep. And this shepherd died to reconcile a rebellious flock to God. And like Zechariah, the people of Israel detested this shepherd. In fact, their detestation was so intense that they crucified him, our Lord. Corrupt shepherds that Israel deserved. The high priests of Israel at that time. And the price on Christ's head was 30 pieces of silver. And that was the value Judas and the Jewish people put, and the high priests put, on the Good Shepherd's life, the Son of God. Jesus is the shepherd, the Redeemer that we don't deserve. Instead of being the one purchased, as in the book of Zechariah, Jesus became the purchaser. He purchases his flock. Jesus bought the flock that detested him. He paid for them with his very life. He purchased them with his own blood. The good shepherd, in this case, our Lord, became a ransom payment to purchase a flock from the Father's wrath, despite the fact that the flock hated and detested him. And yet today we are living in a world that still detests the good shepherd, that despises him, that is in spiritual rebellion to the King of Kings. We have ignored the warnings, not of Zechariah this time, but of the Queen of Heaven herself. Where in the Old Testament, God sent prophets to call back Israel. While today, as has been happening over the last number of centuries, our Lord has been sending his mother over and over again to call a wicked and fallen world back to her son. Even if you were to think of it, if you were to go back to 1917 at Fatima, has the state of the world, the spiritual state of the world, gotten better these last 100 years of Fatima? Or have they gotten worse? Has the conduct of the sheep, the flock, Catholics? Are we Catholics now more of a holy people in 2017, in 2018, now going into 2019, than we were in the year 1917? Have the flock paid heed to our Blessed Mother? Have the shepherds, our earthly shepherds today, priests and bishops, paid heed to our Blessed Mother? Have we made good use of these 100 years of Fatima? Or have we thrown these 100 years away and achieved nothing of substance with which to convert this fallen world? And to be honest, it seems almost like this fallen world has converted the church rather than having the church convert this fallen world. And so if we continue to not pay attention and to heed the warnings of our Blessed Mother, judgment will come upon us, as has been prophesied by the saints, and as it did for Jerusalem. Chastisement is when God brings us to our knees. Reparation is when we willingly go down on our knees. And the haunting words of our Lord, of God, of Yahweh, here in Zechariah, gives us much to think about. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
You have been listening to Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.